actually what happened was I had purchased that globe maybe a year before because I really liked them, and I had it in my studio just sitting there, and I was painting, you know, trying to find my personal style and just experiment, and I ran out of canvases. I didn't have any money to go shopping for art supplies. And so I was like, but I really feel inspired right now. I really want to make something. So I started looking around and I saw that and I just grabbed it and painted it. And I painted it in this like beautiful, like candy colored hues and, you know, had fun with it. And so I posted it on Instagram and it sold the same day.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Like somebody else felt connected to that too. So then since that point, I just kept doing it. They just kept selling. So I was like, that's great. You know, I get to make money and do that thing that I really love to do. So it was perfect.
Hi, I'm Daphne Cohn. Welcome to the Creativity Habit Podcast, conversations with the artists and makers who use creativity to innovate, disrupt, and elevate. Nikki Cade is a mixed media artist. Up until 6 months ago, she worked full-time as a special education teacher. Nikki quit in June and is now living out her dream as a full-time artist. But Nikki didn't just leap hoping it would all work out. For years, she built her art practice while working. She arranged and conducted interviews before work. She shared and promoted her art on Instagram during her breaks. She carried sold art pieces to the post office after work and made art on the evenings and the weekends. By the time Nikki left her job, she'd built a solid online presence, had collectors around the country, and was steadily building her art business. In this conversation, Nikki and I talk about how she prepared for a transition to life as a full-time artist, how becoming a minimalist made it all possible, working with whatever you have and creating success wherever you're at, finding her creative voice, and tricks for building a powerful, effective brand. May you enjoy this conversation, and may it inspire you to make your thing and change your world.
Hello, Nikki. Welcome to the Creativity Habit Podcast.
Hey, so glad to be here.
It's great to have you. I begin my interviews with your creativity story, with how creativity showed up for you as a little girl. So what was it like for you? How did creativity show up for you?
That's a good question. Wow, I spent a lot of time alone in my bedroom. I was always cutting up paper or figuring out how to make things work. My mom was a huge influence. She would always support me in whatever I wanted to do. If I had an idea, she would say, you know, how can we make that happen? No matter how crazy it was. And so I remember this one time when I think I was about 7 and I wanted a Barbie house. It was like the 3-story house, you know, the pink with the elevator. And we couldn't afford it, but she knew I really wanted it. So she decided, well, let's just make one. And I looked at her like, what do you mean? She's like, we could just make it. So we got movie boxes and we stacked them. We put wallpaper inside. We got some little like blow up furniture at a garage sale and she cut a hole in the top of it and put a nightlight in it. It was like the best house ever. So it's like those types of things that have really stuck with me. It's like if you don't have resources or you don't have materials, it's like figure it out.
That's an incredible gift that she gave you at such a young age to carry that with you. So how do you see today you using that idea of if you don't have the resources, if you don't have what you need, how do you use that today in your work as an artist?
Well, it's instilled in me, so it's something that comes kind of natural, just figuring things out. I mean, just last year, I didn't have a computer for a long time. My computer died a few years ago. I never got another one. And so I was doing all these things on Instagram, posting and trying to get established as an artist. And I was doing all these things on my phone. And I always found it really shocking when people would say, like, oh, you're a full-time artist, da, 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 da. And I was like, no, I'm actually a full-time special education teacher and I make art in the cracks. And I always found it surprising that people would look at what I was putting out into the world and they thought like I was legit a full-time artist. And so I think that really speaks to just that spirit of innovation and having to just create things the best way that you can.
They thought you were legit because you had so much online, like because you were so active on Instagram and you had your art up. What was it that had them think you were legit?
I asked a couple people, I was like, why do you think that? And they said that, you know, I was posting often, and what I would post, they found it to be branded, so to speak, or they just thought it was well put together. It was intentional, but I don't really think of myself as being branded. At the time, I really didn't even know what that meant. All I knew was I was super inspired by other artists and what they were doing, and I thought, I want to just do my best and put, you know, my best effort into whatever it is that I do. And so I would just look at other people's portfolios or websites or feeds and try to figure out what that thing was that I liked about what they were doing. And then I tried to incorporate that into my own work. And sometimes I didn't always know how to do it. Like, for example, just photographing work. I don't know about setting up lighting or how to make a backdrop or how to make things look cohesive. Like, no one really taught me that. It was more of just trial and error. I feel like with practice, you can get better at those things. You know, maybe you could go back and look through my Instagram, for example, and see where I started out. And I think personally, as you continue to scroll up, I see a shift happen where things started to get a little more crisp and a little clearer. And all it was really was just practice. So I'm hoping that my Instagram won't look the same as it looks today, maybe a year or two from now. Even my work and what I do, I hope it will continue to improve.
I'm curious with you looking at how other artists were doing it, with you looking at their website and at their feeds and looking to see what it was you liked about their work and the way they were putting themselves out into the world, and then bringing what you liked into your own feed and into the your own way of quote-unquote branding yourself, how did you separate out your voice from theirs?
Oh, that's a great question. I think what I did, I didn't want to copy anyone because I don't think that's the right thing to do, but I looked at several different artists. And I just gleaned from them. So, for example, one artist that was really influential in me even thinking this way was Emily Jeffords. I thought that the quality of what she would put out into the world was pretty great. She's really good at marketing. She's really good at telling her story. So, you know, I don't go and look at her photos and say, what can I copy? I just think about it, like really get specific about what is it that you like about this artist? And for me, it was that she was really good at telling her story. And she was also very good at the quality of work that she put out. So I would make myself a note, think higher quality, and also think about what is your story to tell. Nice. And then I also have another artist that has been super influential too is my friend Maddie Rose. And she is really good at building community. And so I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to go and copy her work or copy her photos, but I want to bring that spirit of community into what I do. So I think it's just about getting to the essence of what someone is doing that you admire versus copying them.
I really like that. It is really easy to look at other people's work and say, I want to try to do that, but where do I fit in that? And what you're saying, Nikki, is more of, as you just said, the essence. Like, what is it that I love about what they're doing? They're creating community. They're telling their story well. How can I create community? How can I tell my story well? How can I create really high quality? So that's a brilliant way of basically comparing yourself to other people's work and then pulling out what is most going to work for you. Love that.
And I will say, I think you have to have a really good balance and not obsess too much over one person and know that it's always changing. Like, I might be inspired by those two artists today, but tomorrow maybe I'm inspired by Krista David or, you know, whoever else.
Right.
Lola Donahue. There's like all these amazing artists out there. And so it's always like rotating, but it's always rotating.
Yeah. It's staying open. It's just as you mentioned in the beginning, it's staying open to the evolution. Like, you hope that your feed evolves, you hope that your art evolves, and in the same way, it's the evolution of who you like, that will evolve and that will change. One of the things that you mentioned right away, Nikki, is how you have a job as a special education teacher, and then you make art in the cracks. So talk to me about what you value about having a day job and how you fit your art into the cracks.
Okay, well, I will say that most recently, I guess it was this June, this was my last year of teaching. So I actually don't teach anymore. I went ahead and made the leap to focus on art full time. But when I did have a job, I mean, there are a lot of benefits. You have that steady income, so that's something good. So you're not worrying about if you need to sell or what's going on with finances. For some people, you know, there's like a bit of security there. For me, there is a bit of security, but I think that if you believe in yourself and you're ready to take that leap, it's worth it. Having a day job, I'm by no means recommending anybody go and quit their job. You have to be ready and you have to, I think, make a plan. I know there's this quote out there that says, like, leap and the net will appear. Well, I think it's like, leap when you're ready. You don't have to necessarily quit your job and think that you're going to make all this money all of a sudden doing art, which you can, but I know for a lot of people it's a process and you have to work on it every day.
Okay, so let's go into that a little bit more then, since I didn't know that you had left your job in June. So you've transitioned to being a full-time artist. Then talk to me more about that transition and how you knew you were ready and what the things were that you did to prepare to transition, and then how it's going now. So there's a lot. And we can start with how you knew you were ready and what you did to prepare.
I knew I was ready when I was doing more art and focusing more on that part of my life while I was actually at my job, which I know that sounds bad, but I found myself, like, on my lunch break, I would go outside and take photos for Instagram. Or early in the morning in the parking lot when I got to work, I was on the phone interview with another artist for my blog or things like that. And it was running to the post office to ship packages when I got a break. Those kinds of things where my creative life started to infiltrate my everyday work life. And it did it so much so that it almost became annoying for me to have to be clocking in and out at a job every day. Like, it was getting in my way. It was providing income, but it was like, I'm not passionate about this anymore. And everyone, all my coworkers, they knew that. And I love them, though, because they were super supportive. Like, I was traveling a lot, too, while I was working. I think, as a teacher, you don't even really work that many days a year anyway. And I think I probably worked half of that. Because I kept going to my supervisor being like, hey, I need to get a week off. I need to get 2 weeks off because I wanted to go to art retreats and I wanted to do all these things that my heart was calling me to. And she was super supportive. She was like, if you can get a substitute, go ahead. We fully support that. Yeah, I just kind of took a look at how much money I made making art in the cracks. I just added it all up because at the time I was just making extra money, you know, just for travel and fun things. And then I sat down and actually looked at how much income I made and I thought, wow, I made this much just painting and doing things in the cracks. How much more could I do if I was really, really focused? And so I decided, I think it was in December, I decided that this was going to be my last year. And so I didn't really know what that would look like, but I went and talked to my supervisor and I was like, hey, I really think I want to take a year off and see how further I can get. And she was like, yeah, I totally agree. I think you should do that. We think you've done a great job here and there's always an open door if you want to come back. So I felt really good about that. So I just started paying things off quickly. Like anything that was reoccurring, I just got rid of subscriptions. I started to pay bills off. I started to make a plan for paying things forward. I was able to get my expenses down really low. I sold a lot of things and I adopted this minimalistic lifestyle, which is still comfortable for me. But being a minimalist, I don't have as many expenses as I did before. And so it really changed my life because what I found was because I don't have that many bills anymore, I actually don't need to work that much.
So you got to see not only that you were making enough from your art, well, how much you were making from your art, but also you really changed a lot of things about the choices you were spending, what you were spending your money on.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know that I don't think that I could be doing this now if I hadn't done that.
Right. So you're managing your money in an entirely different way, actually.
Totally different way.
And that's an important piece because a lot of times when we talk about making the leap or envisioning what it's like to be a full-time artist, we don't talk about the money very much. And yeah. And also, in what I like about what you said is in the preparation for leaving your job, you got smarter about how you manage your money. Like, you really paid attention to it. You turned your face towards it. You looked at the numbers. And then you changed the way that you were working with the numbers.
Yes, 100%.
You've gone from, and only not that many months ago, you know, you've gone from being working full time and working in an environment where there are a lot of people, adults and kids, and you're on your own now and you're your own boss. How does that feel? How's that going?
It feels so good. I absolutely love it. And I'm shocked that I didn't do this sooner because my personality and how I am, I'm a free spirit, like, this really suits me well. I love being in control of my time and my day and who I talk to, who I spend time with. I like being able to make my own plans and figure things out and not have all these rules and having to clock in and out. Like, I still try to be on time for things, but for the most part, some days I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. to go to work. So I love it.
That's great. One of the things that you just mentioned was one of the things that you love about it is being able to spend time with the people that you want to spend time with. And I heard you say at one point that a while back, not now, before you started really building your community online and offline, which we'll also talk about, you said that you used to feel like a unicorn because you weren't spending time with the people who were like you, who were doing the things that you do. And then this was the interesting thing to me was you said that to find folks like you, you said, start doing what you love and your tribe will find you. So it sounds like though you kind of, your tribe found you, but also you found them. So talk about how you find your tribe and how your tribe found you.
That's funny. I forgot I even said that. I don't know. It's this funny thing. I find it kind of ironic. Like, I paint globes. It's what I really love to do. At first, it was this way to kind of channel my wanderlust because I wanted to travel more and everything. And what I found was that my work was kind of going before me. So I was sending work out to all these different collectors, but communicating with them and building friendships. Our art and creativity is what is connecting us. And so it's because I was digging deep to be brave enough to put my work out into the world, people really resonated with that. I guess they resonated with my story. And so these connections started to form. So it's a two-way street. Yeah, they buy my work and I connect with them and I want to find out what they're doing. So there's this really great exchange of energy happening.
What parts of your story do you think people most resonated with?
So one of my core values is freedom. Like, I want to be able to be free to do the things that bring me joy. And so I think that maybe people feel that in my work and they see that in the things that I do. You know, like, I went to Cuba this year. I went to Costa Rica. You know, when I first started, I was in Europe for the first time. Like, I didn't even travel outside the country. That was like my first trip outside the country was to Italy. For me, it was this really big thing because it was always a huge fear of mine to travel alone, especially to travel alone outside the country. And so when I was finally able to do that, it meant a lot to me. And I think maybe other people may feel that way too. So by me sharing that, I think maybe unconsciously, I gave other people permission to do the same. And then also too, just putting my work out. And I know we briefly just talked about, you know, like, being a Black woman and also being an artist. I get a lot of emails from people that say, you know, when I saw you, I saw a woman that looked like me, too. And it really made me feel that I could do that because I don't see that a lot. I don't know for sure, but I think that maybe that's what people find inspiring.
Yeah, and before we started recording, we did talk a little bit about being a Black woman artist. And it's interesting because I know that that's not a huge part of your art. It's not something that, while it's important to you, it's not a focus necessarily. But it's interesting to hear you say that about people recognizing, seeing themselves in you. And a while back, many months ago, I had interviewed a dancer, Antoine Byers, a young Black dancer with Alvin Ailey, and he talked about how important that was for him to show up for other little boys, especially Black boys, and say, hey, you can do this too. I felt the same way, honestly, as like lame as this may sound. I felt that way seeing Wonder Woman on screen and be like, damn, if I'd grown up with women this strong modeled for me all the time in the media, on television, that would have changed the way that I see the world. I'm sure of it. So it is important. It is important.
It is very important. And I didn't even realize, like, two things happened in my life that helped me realize how important it was. And one was the emails and letters that I've gotten from people. That was one thing. And then another thing was when I was in grad school, I took a multicultural literature class, and we had to read 15 books for this 1 6-week class. And it was all about gay and lesbian and transgender and, you know, African-American history and a full array of different types of culture. It really opened my eyes. The class was all about like how important it is to have these things in your classroom. It's not fair to have all these different cultures in your classroom and they're not being represented in the stories that they read or the lessons that they're learning. I don't want to speak for all children, or I definitely don't want to speak for all Black children, but I think that sometimes our kids are written off as not being able to learn or to be in a classroom, and a lot of them are sent out. And they need to be in the classroom learning, and they also need to be in the classroom being able to see people that look like them that are doing great things. Like, we don't always just need to learn about slavery.
That's right.
I mean, that's important, but there's other things that happened before slavery.
It's exactly true. It's the same thing. I mean, just in general, speaking about women, it's like it's not always about learning about the women's movement back in the 70s or liberation, quote unquote, and all of that. It's seeing today women in powerful positions, seeing women being powerful. It's the same thing, whatever the group is or whatever the one that is on the outside, like bringing them inside and mirroring back to them. Here are things that you can be and become, and this is possible. And it's important to know your history, but it's also important to be able to see a bigger, brighter future.
Yes, absolutely. That's something that I'm passionate about. Is that we have to remember that. Like, it's important to everyone. And I think it's easy to write certain people off when you don't know or understand them, what that group is going through. But it's like everybody has their reality, and they need to be able to be included. It's about inclusion.
That's right. One of the things that you mentioned, Nikki, when you're talking about putting your art out and people identifying with this part of your story is, or actually the part about freedom, is you said, when I dug deep enough to be brave enough to share your work. Before we get into your art, and we're going to get into your art really soon, how did you dig deep enough? And what did that look like to get brave enough?
Well, let me see. I mean, I've always been pretty open about sharing my work, even though I had very humble beginnings. I didn't know how to do certain things. I would share pretty freely, but I think the thing was, I didn't really know what my story was. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to share. And so there was some frustration in that. And so I think when I talk about digging deep, I think it's about shedding the things that aren't really you so that you can be who you are really meant to be. And like for me, sometimes I can be kind of drastic, and I'll get an idea in my head and I'll just go for it. And so I was like going through this transition period of like, I really want to find out what my voice is. And so I was like, how do I do that? I don't really know how to navigate that. You know, I would look at different people and I'm like, oh, you know, okay, so this person paints sailboats because their dad owned a boat and they named the boat after her, and you know, that makes sense. So, you know, what my story doesn't really make sense. What is that? And so I finally just decided maybe my story is finding out what my story is. So then it became, well, let me get out of the studio and go out into the world and kind of figure out what that looks like. So like I mentioned before, I was always really afraid to travel to places. And I didn't really have anyone to go with me. You know, I'm not married, I'm the husband. And like a lot of my friends, people can't really afford to do that type of thing. And so I decided I was going to go alone. I have to go alone. I'll just do that. And so I think that's where the brave part came in. And I'm glad it did, because that became a huge part of my inspiration for painting, is drawing from the people that I meet and drawing from different culture and anything that I find when I go places. All of that just fascinates me. I see the world as like this beautiful place. Even though we have a lot of things going on, I still see it as this very resilient earth that loves us and keeps us supported, even though we beat it up as humans. I think it's really a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, it is a beautiful place to be. And I love that thing about maybe your story is about figuring out what your story is. It keeps coming back to this idea of evolution. Is so much of who you are is about this evolving in all areas, your art, the way you show up online, and even the story that you have of who you are. It's all evolving and all changing. So one of the things that you said in terms of finding your voice was going out into the world, but also there was a time, I have this quote of yours, so it's interesting that you should say that, because you said, I began cultivating my voice as an artist by interpreting how I feel and see the world onto the canvas. So I'm curious about what in putting that world onto the canvas, what it showed you about your creative voice, about who you are.
Oh, man. I don't know about that question.
Just what did you see as you were painting? Did you discover things where you said, oh, wow, I didn't really know that about myself?
I don't know. I guess, you know, sometimes while I'm painting the globe, I'll run across countries and I'll just sit there and, like, sometimes I'll go to the internet and research a little bit about it. And I was surprised just how little I knew about Africa. And also was shocked that I'm like, that's the one place that I've never been out of all the places. And it's funny because it's like the one place that I've never wanted to go before growing up. Like Africa was always a sad, I don't know if you say the commercials where the kids with the flies and the extended bellies, and it's always a sad place. It's becoming, and like I'm realizing now, it's like that's a really sad picture to paint of a country that we get 65% of our resources from. And yet there's this picture painted that it's like this horribly poor third world continent. And it's like, I know in my heart that eventually that's going to become a huge part of my story too, because I want to connect with that place. Seeing pictures and, you know, I've talked to people that have traveled there. It's really something on my heart that I want to do, because I think that it needs to be more part of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the art then, like painting on the globes. So how did that start, that you began painting on globes and painting your own globes?
It's funny because actually what happened was I had purchased that globe maybe a year before because I really liked them, and I had it in my studio just sitting there. And I was painting, you know, trying to find my personal style and just experiment. And I ran out of things. I ran out of canvases. I didn't have any money to go shopping for art supplies. And so I was like, but I really feel inspired right now. I really want to make something. So I started looking around and I saw that and I just grabbed it and painted it. And I painted it in this like beautiful, like candy colored hues and, you know, had fun with it. And so I posted it on Instagram and it sold the same day.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. Like, somebody else felt connected to that, too. So then, since that point, I just kept doing it. They just kept selling. So I was like, that's great. You know, I get to make money and do that thing that I really love to do. So it was perfect.
And what is it? Is there something particular about the shape, or is it the wanderlust in you that loves to paint globes and paint on globes? Like, what is it about the globes?
Well, I love it because it's, first of all, it's, you know, the substrate is round, and with every turn, it's different. Like, I can paint one side and turn it around, and it's a completely different background. So I can, you know, and I just find it fun and interesting to work in that way. When I'm working on a canvas, I can see the entire canvas. And so sometimes for me, it can be a little intimidating because I'm thinking about, oh, you know, this corner and that corner. But when I'm painting a globe, I'm only focused on that one section. And then I get to turn it around and I don't see that section anymore and I get to start again. And then when I'm finished and it's all done, like, it really fills me like the sense of wonder, and I just get super inspired all over again. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I love this world. It's beautiful.
That's so great. It's also a bit of a metaphor for life and even for becoming, for like doing the thing you want to do and for making that full time, is it can get overwhelming if you're looking at the whole thing and think, oh my God, how am I going to become a full time whatever? Or how am I going to create this thing out of nothing? But if you take just that little piece that's right in front of you and just do that, then you may find that when you turn it a little bit, when you go forward, now it looks different. Now the next piece is revealed to you. Now you focus on that next piece. So it's a nice
one. I love that. Yeah, I really love that. I need to write that down.
That's great. Well, how are you in terms of being your own boss, like with making your art and now being the one you are responsible for the money that comes in? So you need to keep creating and selling. Is that something that you find challenging? Like, what kind of routine do you have in place for creating, marketing, and selling your work?
It's a lot of building. Like, I don't know. I just created this resource guide. It's called the A-Z Resource Guide for Creative Artists and Creatives. And so all of that is basically everything that I've learned up until this point. And it's a live document that I'll continue to add to. And so I made that available for people, which brings in income. Kind of repeating what I've been doing, but making it being more strategic about it. So I have to have a calendar and figure out what's working for me this year. So I'm establishing some type of a foundation. And then after this year, I feel that I can have a better plan in place for how I want to move forward.
Okay. And what are some of the things that you found to be like the most effective that are really working for you?
Painting as much as I can. Right now, I just started. Today is day one of 30 paintings in 30 days project that I'm doing. And I invited a few friends to follow along on Instagram, but I think that you have to be prolific and you have to paint a lot in order to have enough inventory. I think that that's one of the things that I've struggled with the most is having enough work. It's a good thing, and I don't want to say it's bad because a lot of the stuff on my website are already sold out. But I need to make sure that I'm constantly replenishing. And that can be really challenging when you have to manage so much.
So you're painting every day now with the 30-day challenge. And you're managing a lot of things. And one of the things, another thing that you're managing is your Creative Brunch series. Tell me a little bit about that and what's happening with that.
Okay, so Creative Brunch series is these in-person workshops to foster community and skill sharing. It started out actually with one of my words for the year. But every year I pick one word to focus on for the entire year. And so for this particular year, my word was community. I asked myself, how can I bring more creatives around me and tap into that idea? And so I decided, okay, so I'll invite some people to come out to brunch and we'll write a manifesto since it was the beginning of the year, it was January. And it went really great. I didn't know if anyone would show up. I was in the restaurant by myself. I had everything set up. And then I had five friends come. Actually, two girls I didn't even know. And there was three of my friends came and we had a great time. And so I just kept doing that. And then I got the idea, well, there's other people that I would like to learn from too. So I would invite guest artists to come and teach, and kind of caught on. And it's been a really great experience for me because I get to also do another thing that I love, which is planning events. And I also get to learn from other artists, and I also get to connect with a creative community. So it's great.
And you have plans, you're thinking of expanding it, because right now it's wherever you are, right?
Right. Well, I never meant to go outside of Dallas doing this, because the whole point was to bring community here. Because what I saw was when I went out to Portland to visit, and then I think I went to San Francisco as well, I noticed they have this creative hub. There's a lot of things going on. And I came back and I noticed that, you know, there was something missing, and I really wanted that. So I tried to create that here for myself. And then recently I had a workshop in Portland with Alexandra Friends, and it was a writing workshop. And the funny thing is, I never meant, like I said, to go outside of Dallas, but since she couldn't come here, I decided to go to her because, you know, I didn't want to miss that opportunity. I think Alexandra's great. So after that workshop, came back, got tons of emails from people wondering when I was going to come do a creative brunch in their city. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This was not in the plan. But I thought about it and I was like, I think that could be a really great thing. So I'm going to work with this company that come up with some type of business model that will work so that these things can happen in more than one city.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's really great.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
Switching tracks just a little, I want to ask you about something, another thing that you said, because I find so much courage in these words and I'm curious about it. So one of the things you said was, it's my art. If someone doesn't get it, that's fine. But you can't really tell me if it's right or wrong because it's something that came from me. So
where are you getting this? Holy moly, you are digging right there. Okay.
But
it does sound like something I would say. I'm pretty sure I did say it.
Something that you said, but those are really strong words, and it's one of the things that so many of us struggle with so much, which is this idea of, wait, if you tell me it's wrong, well, gosh, maybe it is wrong, or if you tell me it's right, now I feel really good about it. But you said, Nikki, you can't tell me if it's right or wrong because it came from me. Tell me where that confidence comes from, or how, or if you had to do anything to foster that, what has you believe so deeply in your art?
I don't even know if it's confidence. I think more it's just me being pissed off a little bit. Even in art class or whatever, or critiques. Yes, there are things that generally make up, we know, if you study elements or principles or whatever, generally speaking, there are these things that work. Composition, color, the rule of thirds, all that jazz. Like, we get it. But there's also, too, I think, this other side of just making whatever you want to make. If it's coming from you and it's coming from this genuine place, it's like, you can't really tell me it's wrong. Like, this is mine. They're not wrong. Like, maybe they don't do things the way we want them to do, but why does it have to be wrong?
I totally get that. It's actually one of the core guiding principle. If I had to get up and preach about anything, it would be every single person has to decide for themselves what their path is for them, who they are. They make the choices about their life. Nobody else can say, this is what's best for you. We can give advice, we share wisdom, we can do all that stuff, but nobody can tell another person what's best for them because they can't possibly know that. They're not that person. So in the same way, that's what you're saying about my art. Like, you cannot tell me if it's right or wrong. It came from me.
I love it.
You were sharing advice that you would offer other artists. And one of the things that you said was, don't wait for someone to discover you or until you have everything figured out. Start where you are, use what you have, and create your own opportunities. Share with me a little bit about how you have done that for yourself. Started where you are and created your own opportunities as an example for what other artists and makers can look to in their own lives.
I think that a lot of times we get hung up on what we don't have. You know, well, I don't have a DSLR camera. I don't have a fancy camera so that I can't produce good work, which is kind of bullshit. Excuse my language, but it's like you can, you know, these smartphones these days are incredible. Just practice that. And you can use an app to make your photos brighter. There's so many things you can do. You could buy one of the little cameras on Amazon that can zoom in on things. Those are the types of things I'm talking about as far as figuring it out when you don't have what you need. Even goes back to creative brunch. I don't have a creative community, so therefore I can't da 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 da. And I just took it and turned it around. Well, if I don't have it, I'm going to create it. That's what I meant by that when I was giving advice, is stop making excuses. Especially living here in America, we should not have excuses. We have too much available to us.
That's great. Okay, so as we finish up, first of all, if you want to see more of Nikki's art, and in particular her globes, which I highly recommend you do, one place to go is her website. So that's Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, Cade, C-A-D-E, studio.com. And you also have a pretty active, well, very active Instagram account. So where can they go on Instagram to find you?
I have two accounts. One is Nikki Cade Studio. And the other one is Creative Brunch Series.
Great. And then the last two things before we finish up. The first is appreciating you. And the gratitude that I have for you as an artist, it's that openness. It's the going with the next thing and being able to not have it all figured out, but to just take that next step in the same way that wanderlust is a part of who you are, and being willing to travel alone when you didn't have someone to travel with, and then that opened up a whole world to you. Trying out painting on a globe and painting in one little area, and then you turn it and you see what's next. It's this openness to what is next, and doing it with this belief in who you are, this belief in your resourcefulness, this belief in your abilities, and that if you don't have it, you'll figure it out, you'll make it, you'll come up with it. And because of that, because of the belief and because of the openness and that drive for freedom, you're bringing into the world art that we get to appreciate and we get to have be in our lives. So thank you.
Thank you. That was really great. I love this.
Welcome. And the last question is, for those of us, I believe that everyone is creative, but not everyone is going to become an artist or a maker. For those of us who feel called to that, why is it important that we make our thing?
I think it's important because you don't want to block that. It's an energy source that's constantly moving. And there's this quote once, I don't know, I can't say it verbatim, but it talks about if you block it, it won't exist anywhere else. So I think it's important to get those things out, because the world needs to see that. The world needs your story. The world needs your work, your love. They need your light. And when you bring that out, you give other people permission to do it. And then there's this big, beautiful world of people walking in their truth. And I think that you can't get much better than that.
I agree. Thanks so much, Nikki.
Thank you. Hey, you're really good at this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm Daphne Cohn, and you've been listening to the Creativity Habit Podcast. Head on over to thecreativityhabit.com to read this week's profile, The Rituals, Routines, and Day in the Life of Art of Seduction Teacher and Writer Kitty Cavalier. To read about the daily routines and practices of artists and makers, go to thecreativityhabit.com. And you can follow The Creativity Habit on Instagram and Facebook. If you haven't yet, please go to the iTunes podcast and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And then join me next week for another Creativity Habit podcast. Thank you for listening.